I do wrestle with amplifying extreme voices, but I think a lot of people want to know what these people have to say. And I feel that if I can elicit that information from them, then I'm improving the world and I'm allowing us to make sense of how people think, if you know what I mean. And so in that sense, while I appreciate that it might not be what everybody wants and it might be upsetting to quite a lot of people, I really think that these people's voices sort of need to be heard. But I do, it's something I think about a lot, let me put it like that. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the psychology of a very interesting character, who in many ways is very interesting precisely because he's not interesting. He spends his time with people whom he sees as eccentric and unusual and interesting, while he acts as the straight man. And he has made an extremely successful career out of doing this, and that is Louis Theroux. Now, before we begin, I have to confess that I am something of a fan of Louis Theroux. I enjoy his documentaries, and I enjoy his documentaries because of the way in which he is so socially skilled. And he is so empathetic, and he is so good at putting his subjects at their ease, and he adopts this, I don't know how to what extent it is faux, but this innocent persona, this charming, almost childlike innocent persona, and this elicits from them the kind of their real selves and truly how they feel. So I think it's very interesting. But I want to understand what is the psychology of Louis Theroux. And in many ways, he is the ultimate, what I have called in other videos, by Bruce Charlton's term, the head girl. But he is something slightly more than that. And it's extremely interesting. So who is Louis Theroux? For those that aren't familiar with it, Louis Theroux is a British documentary maker. He's actually half American, but he's a British documentary maker. And his the thing that he does is he makes these documentaries where he meets unusual people, eccentric people, strange people, and he spends time with them. That's basically it. That's Louis Theroux. And most recently, he did a documentary where he spent time with members of the American sort of Groyper community, including Nick Fuentes, Baked Alaska, people like this. And there's been a lot of criticism of that documentary, on the one hand from people who have said that he shouldn't amplify their voices or give them the time of day, on the other hand from people that felt that he was unreasonable and he was too judgmental and stuff like that, which is I think perhaps true. But what is the psychology of Louis Theroux? Now, I would say Louis Theroux is a person who has very high general factor of personality and very high intelligence, though not necessarily skewed intelligence, not necessarily intelligence combined with autism or very extreme outlier high intelligence in one particular area, which is something that tends to be associated with genius. Now, how does this work? There are the big five personality traits. These can be remembered by the acronym OCEAN. These are openness to experience, which is that you're interested in unusual things, you're interested in novelty, you're hypnotizable, you can sometimes have unusual psychological experiences. It's a whole hodgepodge of different things. That's openness to experience, as opposed to being a sort of everyday and closed-minded. You're open to new things, you're interested in new things, you're interested in the unusual. Secondly, you have extroversion. Extroversion is that you feel positive feelings strongly. So extroversion is associated with taking risks because you get a great deal of payoff from the positive feelings that you get when the risk goes well. The third is conscientiousness. Conscientiousness is impulse control, rule following, wanting to be socially approved, that sort of thing. Conscientiousness predicts doing well in the education system, doing well in the world of work, and so on. It also predicts conservatism to some extent. It doesn't necessarily predict originality or whatever, but that's conscientiousness, and that's also good physical health because you have the impulse control, high impulse control. You can control your impulses. Then you have sorry. Then you have agreeableness. Agreeableness is basically, it's a combination of two things. That is altruism and empathy. Altruism is that you're a kind person. You want to be kind to other people. You're socially oriented. And empathy is that you feel the feelings of other people. You understand how other people feel. And then finally, you have neuroticism. Neuroticism is mental instability, that you feel negative feelings strongly. And this is associated with depression and anxiety and, you know, being an angry person and aggression and that sort of thing. So these are the five personality traits: openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. Now, these can be reduced down to something called general factor of personality, which is basically that you are a socially effective person. Each of these different five personality traits are made up of different aspects. So an aspect, for example, of agreeableness would be empathy, or an aspect of neuroticism would be anger. But there are positive aspects to each of these. So a positive aspect of openness is that you're open to new things. A positive aspect of neuroticism would be social anxiety. A positive aspect of extroversion would be that you're loquacious and talkative, or whatever. And these can be reduced down to a general factor of personality, which basically maps on to being socially effective. Are you socially effective? Are you good with are you able to behave in such a way that causes you in the human pack to do well in life? Are you socially effective, or are you not socially effective? That's general factor of personality. And it seems to me that Louis Theroux is extremely high in general factor of personality. However, he is also very, very high in the openness component of general factor of personality, to a very pronounced degree, such that it can have some kickback. It can make him unusual, in so much as he's able to do these documentaries and he's able to spend time with people with whom he fundamentally disagrees very strongly, but he's able to sort of cope with them and empathise with them and bond with them. And that would be consistent, firstly, with very, very high empathy and agreeableness, and secondly, with very high general factor of personality and very high openness. So there's some nuances to this. If he was very, very socially anxious, then he wouldn't dare do this because he would be concerned about the kickback from people that would say, oh, you shouldn't spend time with nasty people who are amplifying their voices. So he must be slightly limited in social anxiety in that sense. And in the same way, his openness, his desire for new and interesting things must overwhelm that kind of social anxiety. So it's slightly more nuanced, but it's basically very high GFP. Now, he combines this with extremely high intelligence. He is a very, very intelligent man. This can be noted most obviously in the fact that he has a very high vocabulary. He uses very unusual words, which is a marker of being extremely intelligent. But he doesn't have outlier high intelligence, or if he does have, and what intelligence is associated with, unless it's outlier or skewed high intelligence, which tends to be associated with autism, he doesn't have this, is that you are socially conformist, that you have what's called cultural mediation. You notice what the dominant set of values is. You are able to understand the importance of adopting those dominant set of values in order to get on in life. You have the effortful control to be able to adopt those dominant set of values. You force yourself to believe them, and thus you hold to the dominant set of values. And that is what Louis Theroux does. So Louis Theroux is a little bit left-wing because the dominant set of values is to be a little bit left-wing. However, he has to find a niche to compete within that dominant values set. And so what that dominant values set is to be I'm a little bit left wing, but I'm empathetically open-minded to everybody. And that allows him to compete for status in a system in which everybody who is of normal high intelligence range is going to be a little bit left wing in order to conform to the system and not to get the benefits of so doing. So that's what he's managed to balance together. Now, in many ways, therefore, he is rather like what we've called the head girl. The head girl in contrast to the genius. What the genius is, is very, very high, outlier high intelligence, such that you get to the level of outlier high intelligence where you are very low in empathy. Intelligence is about solving problems. So if you are very, very good at systematizing and extremely obsessed with the truth, you will be better at solving problems. And that is why people that have outlier high intelligence tend to be slightly autistic, because autism involves being obsessed with systematizing, low in empathy, and thus very, very good at solving problems. That's outlier high intelligence. And they tend to combine this with basically moderately antisocial traits, low GFP, such that being low in agreeableness, they will have an interesting idea, which a new idea is always offend people, but they either won't care about this or they will lack the empathy to understand that it will offend people, so therefore they will present their new idea. New ideas involve breaking the rules, involve thinking the unthinkable. People that are high in conscientiousness won't do that. And so therefore they won't come up with original ideas, but these people with moderately low in conscientiousness, so they do. And to a certain extent, mental instability, which means that you're neurotic and the world is chaos to you and you desperately want to understand the world, and therefore this incentivizes you to come up with brilliant and amazing new ideas. That's the genius. The head girl is very, very different from this. The head girl has normal range high intelligence combined with very high GFP, which means that she is very, very successful and very, very motivated towards socially approved goals. But being high in conscientiousness and being rule-following, they have to be socially approved goals. And that is what you see, I think, with Louis Theroux, except that you have this very high openness, this very, very high openness, which also correlates, by the way, with intellect and being intellectually curious. But there is the limitation that it has to be towards socially approved goals. And therefore, he has the cast iron and self-control to be able to force himself not to go too far, not to rock the boat a little bit, but the optimal amount of rocking the boat, such that he achieves the optimum social payoff. Whereas if he rocked the boat too much, he might achieve more of a payoff in the sense of something amazing and brilliant, but less of a social payoff. And remember that what he is socially oriented, he is a social animal, it's socially approved goals. In that sense, he's the head girl. Now, Louis Theroux has written a very, very interesting autobiography. I will put a link to his memoirs in the description. And if you look at it, you can see that this is exactly the kind of person that he is. Now, first of all, as I say, he is extremely intelligent. Intelligence correlates with socioeconomic status, and he has achieved very high socioeconomic status. It also correlates with socioeconomic origin. And his socioeconomic origin is in many ways what one might call the new English upper class. So his father was a very successful novelist, American novelist. His mother was an academic. They're obviously some sort of extremely moneyed family, such that they could afford, they had two sons, and they could afford to send him to prep school and then to Westminster, which is a major public school. At Westminster, he was so intelligent that he was put in this sort of highly intelligent stream where he was effectively put ahead a year, at such that when he applied to Magdalen College, Oxford, he was only 16 years old. Now, remember, intelligence, raw intelligence, as opposed to IQ, raw intelligence goes up with age. So at 16, applying to Oxford alongside 18 and 19-year-olds, he would be at a substantial disadvantage. Nevertheless, he was offered a place at Magdalen College, Oxford, at 16. And not only that, but they wrote to his school and they explained what a brilliant young man this was. The fact that he had the need to tell us in his memoir that Magdalen College, Oxford, wrote to his school to tell them how brilliant he was, it's a little bit, I mean, why would you have to boast about something like that? Is it a little bit insecure? Is it fitting in with the head girl idea? The head girl desperately seeks social approval. The head girl will display all her trophies in her room or whatever. The head girl is built around socially approved manifestations of success. And the head girl is a boffin, if you will. And perhaps that's an element of Louis Theroux, that he desperately desires socially approved success. And thus he's so proud Trow that Magdalen College, Oxford, when he was 16, wrote to his school to say how brilliant he was, that he just can't not tell us about it. It's like he can't not tell us, because as a head girl, it just fills him with such joy that he desperately wants it to share, that he wants to be able to assert that he is a head girl. He is the head girl. So he's obviously extremely intelligent to be able to achieve that. It's evident from the whole way that he talks about life and his relationship with other people, that from a very relatively young age, he has seen himself as the very, very reasonable person, the sensible guy, the reasonable guy, the straight man in comedic terms in a world of eccentrics, such as his former prep school headmaster that would drive out of the garage at the school in a Rolls Royce, and they'd all have to stand and sort of almost salute to the former headmaster in his Rolls Royce. He's the sensible, reasonable, thoughtful man in a world of eccentrics. That's how he of weird eccentrics that he wants to try and understand. That's how he sees himself. And the memoir betrays the fact that that's how he's seen himself, I think, from quite a young age. Even his parents, the novelist that sits there in a room full of pipe smoke and takes them on a peculiar sort of, you know, left-wing influenced holidays, even they are slightly eccentric compared to he, the sensible man. I had a friend at school that used to talk about it. He used to say, "I'm an ordinary guy." How modest, how super modest to see yourself as an ordinary guy. And his comedy would be based around that he's this ordinary guy, the most ordinary, reasonable guy you could meet, surrounded by eccentrics. Now, there are elements of Theroux that are evidently he's not ordinary. He's extremely intelligent, and there's also a slight need to show off about his intelligence, such as by saying, you know, "Look, the Magdalen College, Oxford wrote to my school to say how brilliant I was." So he's not an ordinary guy. He knows he's not an ordinary guy. He knows he's not, but nevertheless, that's his niche that he's carved out. He's the sensible straight man. And this is what a head girl would often see themselves as. The head girl controls the sixth form of all of these weird girls with their eating disorders and their sexuality disorders and their problems with their A-levels and whatever, but the head girl is the sensible one that gets on with everybody, that negotiates their way through the problems, and that's and Louis is self-aware enough to see that that's what he is, but plus the high openness. So obviously he's very, very privileged background. He's never really wanted for anything in life. He's never really suffered, really, because he's always had a great deal of wealth. So and this will obviously create a great deal of security, which will perhaps allow you to be this slow life history strategist who is very, very high in general factor of personality and intelligence. But it's also inherited, so he gives the impression that it's a loving background. His parents aren't divorced or anything like that. And so this is inherited as well, I think, general factor of personality. Although probably more so than with his parents, because a novelist, certainly an artist, might be expected to be relatively high in psychopathic traits. That's what successful novelists tend to be like, according to the research. So perhaps there's some variation there. But nevertheless, very, very high general factor of personality, very socially skilled. Now, the openness is... Oh, he's in plays and things. This is consistent with openness being artistic and whatever when he's young. This is consistent with openness. And he then takes a year out before he goes to Oxford so he can be a bit older in order to be teaching at schools in Zimbabwe. Now, this is at a time when Zimbabwe was already an unstable and dangerous place. So you've got to be pretty high in openness to want to go and teach at schools in Zimbabwe. And apparently, because schools in Zimbabwe are seemingly based around corporal punishment and whatever, he was not particularly good at doing this. And he admits that he had tremendous difficulty controlling the class. But this is obviously very, very high openness. Now, he sails into life in television and in the TV industry. And before long, when he's still a very young man, he's making these documentaries, Louis Theroux's Real Weird Weekends and all this kind of thing, where he spends time with unusual people, with eccentric people, with extremists and all of this sort of thing. Eventually, by about the year 2000, he's spending time with some very eminent unusual people, such as Anne Widdecombe, who was Shadow Home Secretary, such as... such as Jimmy Savile. And he is able because he has very, very high general factor of personality, because he is very socially skilled, very, very empathetic, to really get beneath the skin of these people and to get them and their friends and acquaintances to elicit, to give him information about them so that you allow us to really make sense of them. So, for example, with Anne Widdecombe, he annoys her by asking her about her sex life, and he comes on a trip with her and her elderly mother to the fjords of Norway or something, and then manages to get her, the mother, aside to admit things about Anne Widdecombe, such that when she was a child, she only seemed to have friends that were boys, which we wouldn't otherwise have known. And he did this by catching this old lady off her guard. And so there's a cunning to him. So although he's high in GFP, one could argue there's a cunning to him, but his GFP is so high that he's able to sort of cover this up with an innocence and a childlike quality, such that you put it aside. Although Anne Widdecombe in her memoirs was very resentful that he managed to do this with her mother, and said that the mother didn't even realise she was being interviewed. So he obviously charmed the mother and thus managed to get the kind of information he wanted. There's another documentary where he's with people that have brain damage. And there's one particular black chap who snaps, gets defeated in a computer game, and is then really nasty to his mother and makes her really upset. And Louis takes him aside and says, look, did you just snap at your mother like that because you got beaten in that computer game? Is that what you did? Don't you think you should maybe apologise to her? I mean, don't you think? Yeah, the perfect social skill set, but there is definitely a cunning to him and a steel to him. There has to be successful in these kinds of areas, and that's what you have with GFP: a steel, an ambition, but towards socially approved goals, and to be ultimately highly socially approved. And that's what, but yet also of high status, can involve a risk-taking and an element of not being socially approved. And it's getting that balance exactly right, which he manages to do. Now, in the most recent documentary, this is the one on the Groypers, it's been criticised that he was much more judgmental than usual. So in other documentaries that he's done with Nazis and people like this, there was one where he said, there was this woman saying how she despised people of different races. And he said to her, well, don't you think you should maybe get psychological help, to psychiatric help to sort of help you deal with this, because he is, of course, he has imbibed so strongly the current way of thinking that it's something that on a certain level he can't quite bring himself to question. So he assumes that such people must be mentally ill. In this case, the woman probably was, to be honest. But he was much more judgmental. He would tell them directly that he didn't agree with their views, things like this. I wonder if he was pressured to do so. And that's why the documentary didn't go well, that normally he wouldn't have done so. He would have been much more innocent, as he was with Jimmy Savile. And then it was subsequently revealed, of course, all of the things that Jimmy Savile had done, but they were revealed only subsequently. But even so, he managed to bring out of Jimmy Savile admissions to criminal behaviour and all kinds of other interesting things. But the innocence wasn't adopted so much with this, I think, because he was under some sort of pressure to make them look bad, and therefore the documentary didn't go so well. One thing that I have been told is that as part of this documentary, he interviewed Richard Spencer. They went to see him and the producer. They were very, very friendly. They had lunch together and they had a very, very long conversation. He attempted to provoke Richard Spencer by saying things like, what would you do if your daughter married a black man? And Spencer said, I'm just not going to answer that question. At one point, Theroux said to him, you're very, very good at answering questions. You really know how to answer questions. And apparently the conversation went really well, and Theroux was asking all kinds of extremely intelligent, thought-provoking sort of questions, drawing Spencer to clearly interested in ideas, but at the same time very down to earth, didn't come across as pretentious, which is consistent with high GFP. He was drawing him to all kinds of interesting places, and it sort of went really, really well. And he said, you really know how to answer questions, and that I have to confront you more. I have to confront you more. To which Spencer said, yes, you don't want to be seen as being pally with the next Hitler, which resulted in him laughing, and apparently they got on extremely well, and it was an extremely pleasant conversation. He came across as the straight man, as reasonable, as innocent, and whatever. He wasn't a sort of shrill liberal at all. He was simply a very, very pleasant, interested, interesting, intelligent man. One thing that Spencer explained to me was that at one point they were talking about Shakespeare or something, and he said that John Milton may well have gone to see the first the original production of Hamlet, and Theroux corrected him on this and said, no, you're about 20 years out. No, that couldn't have been the case. Now, what somebody else might have done if they were leftists would use that clip to say, oh, look how ignorant this person is. He didn't do that. In fact, he didn't use any of the footage at all. And one suspects that he was pressured not to use the footage because it may have just made the individual in question seem too reasonable and pleasant, and it was just generally a too pleasant conversation. Instead, he decided to use footage with people who, in the main, came across as very silly and highly emotional and a bit of a... didn't come across well at all. In order to condemn them. So that was a bit of a shame. And that shows you about how polarised I think we are, that he was under pressure, that he is a person who's always wants to be open and be as reasonable as possible and just treat these people who are very, very different and offensive and whatever as human beings and let them speak for themselves and if condemn themselves or otherwise. But he was pressured not to do that, and that all of the footage with Spencer was gone, and that there was the focus on unreasonable people. But anyway, that's Louis Theroux, the ultimate head girl plus very high openness. And that's why I think he has been as successful as he's been. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, then please do subscribe. It really helps me if you do that. If you want to help support the channel, you can see ways to do so below in Entropy and particularly Subscribe Star, where you can be a patron if you wish. And I will see you soon, and goodbye!